Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The 90s action movie saw the genre move into the digital age with varying degrees of success. The muscle-bound action heroes of the 80s stepped aside for more thought-provoking and cerebral action stars who still wanted to save the world and blow shit up. We are going to deliver our top 10 action movies of the 90s, but first, here are 10 90s action movies facts. Still got to get that right because Neil's doing it all. Anyway. First of all, in Point Break, Patrick Swayze was an accomplished skydiver and took part in the big skydiving scene. He made 55 jumps in total.
Utah, give me two.
In Con Air, the sight of planes flying in low formation over the Las Vegas Strip during filming caused a number of Las Vegans to call the police.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
In Demolition Man, Sly Stallone described the cryogenic freezing scene as probably the worst 5 hours I've ever had on movie sets. I was terrified.
I don't need a history lesson. Come on, Hal. Where the goddamn guns?
Heat was filmed without a single soundstage.
She got a great ass.
I love that quote. In Independence Day, Mary McDonald accepted her role immediately after her agent pitched the film by simply saying it's about a 15-mile-wide spaceship. In Speed, Sandra Bullock actually learned to drive a bus for the film, passing a test on her first attempt.
I gotta get on that bus.
In Total Recall, Coca-Cola is the only advertised soft drink on Earth. On Mars, we see ads only for Pepsi.
Hey man, you need a cab?
In Die Hard with a Vengeance, Samuel L. Jackson said that Zeus is the closest character to my personality of any that I've played.
Dial 911. Tell the police to get up here quick. Somebody's about to get killed.
In Mission Impossible, the trick with a disappearing, reappearing CD that Ethan Hunt does to fool Franz Krieger is not a camera trick or any other visual effect, but a genuine sleight of hand trick.
Kittredge, you've never seen me very upset.
And in Waterworld, Kevin Costner personally invested $22 million of his own money into the film.
I better not screw up my short game.
What a wise investment that was, Kevin. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go back to the 90s. And who better to come and join us than two of the coolest dudes you're ever going to see on the internet and in podcasting. From the My 5 Cents podcast, The Logical Genius and So Juve, it is a pleasure to have you back, chaps. How are you?
What's up, Pav? Thank you for having us.
Hey.
What's going on, Pav? You know, I still got a bone to pick with you, Pav. I'm happy to be here.
That's why there was all this trouble with the technology before. It was all working, really.
My technology was allergic to what was going on.
If anybody, we're not going to go into that. You need to go and listen to my episode of the My 5 Cents podcast to understand that whole backstory. I apologize, Juve. I really do. But I was right. I feel I was right.
You were right, Bob. You were 100% right.
So
don't let anyone question you.
Well, that makes a change. So, guys, the My 5 Cents podcast.
Yes, sir.
A great, great podcast. I will put the link in the show notes for you to go and subscribe and check and listen. When did it start and what is it? Give us a bit of a backstory.
Oh man, when did it start? It started over a night of gaming between myself and Logical Genius.
Not a night, a late night of gaming.
Late night.
Early morning, you could say as well.
Yes. So while we were gaming, we were talking about just the different YouTube channels and things that are out there as far as entertainment. And we were like, how do we not have something that's out there? And we're talking about Ryan and his toys and how many toys Ryan has, and he's making millions, and we're definitely nowhere close to making millions, but we said we could make something. And we started talking about, like, what are the top five rap beats of all time? What's the best rap beat of all time? And then it turned into a top five. And then it turned into this wonderland of just going through music. So while we're gaming, we're now on YouTube looking up instrumentals. Like, but what about this one? What about that one? And it was a rabbit hole that took us to about 3:30 in the morning when we finally stopped.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, I text the group and I said, oh my God, that's it. And Logical Genius was already kind of like, oh yeah, that is it. And of course, HLS is like, what are you guys talking about? So that's typically how it kind of goes when we do that. We are missing our third member, Habitual Line Stepper. He had an engagement that he couldn't break away from, but would have loved to have been here. And that was the birth of the My 5 Cents podcast.
Yeah.
The beauty I love of your podcast. Now, the one thing we've always said is that everybody's top tens are correct, because that's your point of view.
and
it doesn't matter. And I always go back to this, even though Neil never had Ecto-1 in the top 10 movie vehicles, which I find just crazy.
That is crazy.
I don't understand how you cannot put that in there, but I need to let that go. I think that was like episode 7 or 8. So like 120 episodes ago is crazy. But the beauty is that with your podcast, there is a definitive answer. You make your guest choose a definitive answer, don't you?
Yeah, we do. So we try to bring in guests who are quote unquote experts in their field, and we have them settle the debate of top five. We don't go 10 because 10 would probably be too hard. So I don't know how you guys do it, but for us, you know, we're trying to, I say for me, it's we're trying to impact humanity, right? So I think that if we can settle these debates, these top five debates, then the rest of humankind and our future generations can worry about other things, right? They can worry about, you know, climate change and political things and food shortage. Don't worry about, you know, the top five reasons why you need therapy or top five reasons to break up with someone. Like, let us figure that out for you, and you can worry about the more important things.
Completely agree. And really, the thing is like I've found with a lot of these top tens, and it, you still take things, you'll do a top 10 and then tomorrow it's something completely different. And I think when we did ours, everybody sort of said, you know, my top five is going to be different tomorrow or is going to be different next week. And it's very hard. I mean, just tell the listeners, what kind of subjects do you pick?
Oh man, we're all over the place. We have a spreadsheet with literally 400 topics on there. And we go from relationships to entertainment to music to movies. No subject is off grounds, which I know it's against what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to pick a niche and just stick with relationships. But as Logical Genius said, well, we just want to solve these problems for you all. Like, we don't want you to worry about it. And part of the beauty of our podcast is when you talk about it, perspective, right? Our first part is perspective. Our second part is persuasion. So we give our guests our perspective, but I think the true battle is trying to persuade them towards our list. That's where the battle is really had, and maybe trying to sway, hey, I was thinking about it this way, but the Logical Genius made a great point that I didn't think of.
I agree. Right. One more thing before we crack on with our top tens, your names. How did you get them and where did they come from? Logical Genius, you first.
Let me go. All right. So here's how it played out, right, Pav? So we did a pilot for our show, and it was just something we wanted to do in turn to see how it worked out. We came on, So Juve was like, oh, So Juve. And I'm like, okay, he has a stage name. And then HLS comes with his stage name, and I'm like, damn, I don't have one. So I was just thinking about, you know, what, you know, I consider myself, I'm a Libra. So I think in the more logical way, or at least I try to, and I think I'm a genius. So that's, I put two and two together and they made the name. Like, that sounds pretty cool. So yeah, I went with that.
Okay. And so Juve, how did you get your name?
For me, my good friend, he was actually our guest for episode number one, Evans. He gave me this nickname, and it came about, I think maybe in high school or something like that. And I did something and he was just like, that's so Juve. And then so Juve just kind of stuck from there. So it's just been something that has stuck. So that's how the name came to pass. And then the habitual line stepper, he got his name because that's what he is. He's a habitual line stepper. Quick story is I was messing around with a girl or whatever it may be. And I told the habitual line stepper like that I messed around with this girl. And my brother had asked me like maybe the night before, like, hey, did you mess around with this girl? And I was like, no, I didn't mess around with this girl. And the habitual line stepper, like the very next day, comes out, yeah, remember when you messed around with that girl? And I was like, and it's like all the time. It's like, man, you always stepping over the line, man.
That is so cool. Okay, right. We'll get into the actual job of the podcast. We're doing 90s action movies. Now, I'm assuming that the 90s are both your decades. Am I right or wrong there?
Yes.
Logical Genius, yes. Yeah.
Yes. It's definitely a great decade for action movies, actually, too.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I've always said that I think for me, because I'm a little bit older than you guys, the 80s is the greatest decade for music. I just feel that it is. Yeah. But when I started to put my list down for the 90s action movies, I was surprised how many great action movies there are in this decade. So I found it really, really hard to get my 10 together. What about you, Juve? Did you find yours hard to get together?
Yeah, I struggled, like, and I'm still struggling, like, especially with my bottom half, because it's like, nah, how am I leaving these other movies out? But you know, you mentioned that there's time for honorable mention, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
so at least they will still get some recognition. Indeed. But it was hard keeping some out.
Indeed. Right, let's crack on. So Logical Genius, give us your number 10 action movie.
This is tough. I mean, I was trying to take this approach from a logical sense, like I always do.
I realized,
like you said earlier, this is my list, right? So there wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to win anything, I don't think, unless you're giving out prizes. But I think at number 10, I'm going to go with Speed in 1994, Keanu Reeves, which is a very non-action action movie, but because they're on the bus for like 90 minutes or something like that, just driving around. But it was a very, very good movie. I've watched it multiple times.
Mm. It was one of those movies that started that sort of mini genre, wasn't it? It was like everything then became speed on a boat or speed on this or speed on that, way you're stuck in a situation moving at a certain pace. Like a lot of things became Die Hard on a boat, Yeah, this was very close to being in my top 10. Juve, are you a fan of this movie?
Yeah. Speed, Keanu Reeves. I mean, to me, this was kind of the introduction party to Sandra Bullock. So that is always pleasing on the eyes. So Speed didn't make my list, but I understand why I would make yours.
And Dennis Hopper being another deranged bad guy.
He was good. He was a good villain. Yes.
Yeah,
he was a really good villain.
That's a good one to kick us off with, though. So, Juve, you're number 10.
My number 10. See, so where the Logical Genius always takes a logical approach to his list, mine has to come with the story.
Okay.
And really, this movie, to me, that's honestly wasn't all that great, but it just had one scene that may have changed my life, and that is Total Recall. Okay. And the scene that we're talking about.
Yep.
It's
the lady
alien
with the three tits.
Yeah, three boobs. Three boobs.
I mean, I pressed pause on that. Not one, not two, but three. Mm-hmm.
Baby, you want me to make me have three hands. Yeah, I love that line.
Yes. So only reason why it cracked my top 10, I honestly compared it to some of the other that didn't make the list, and I was like, Total Recall really isn't a better movie than this, but it has a better story because of that lady with the three tits. Yes, that's my number 10.
You can say the word Jew is fine. All right. You can say whatever you like. I haven't seen the movie for a while, but I'm assuming that it stands up. Because one thing I remember is just how gruesome and gory and graphic it was. It was not obviously a great Arnie movie at the sort of top of his game, mm-hmm.
I was a big sci-fi head, though I still am, and yeah. that was one of the good sci-fi movies at that time, I thought.
Absolutely. But then they did that awful remake with Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I had a high hopes of that. I had with modern technology and better graphics, but the storyline just wasn't cutting it.
No, I mean, I've never seen
I just couldn't do Colin Farrell in that role. I didn't even watch the movie. So part of me wanted to watch it to see if there was someone with three tits in that one, but I couldn't even do it.
Oh, dear. I mean, look, if we were given 8 prizes, Juve would win already because he's picked something that's got 3 tits.
No argument there. No argument there.
Unless there's a movie here with a lady that's got 4 tits, then you would win. Okay, my number 10 goes a little bit along with yours, Logical Genius, in the fact that it's got Dennis Hopper as a madman bad guy, and it's Waterworld. Now, I know this movie got a lot of
underrated.
But I find it just a really good romp. And Kevin Costner is a great leading man in this. Dennis Hopper is great as the bad guy. It was one of the most expensive flops I think ever.
Definitely.
But as a movie, boring... you watched it. You would sit and watch because you wanted to know where it went, right? Yeah, it was a very, very interesting world that they built and concept. It was a year like 2500 or something like that. And it was just like, where is this going? Where is this movie going? I don't know if I mean, I kind of like the ending, you know, they found, no spoilers, I mean, I guess, hasn't seen it yet, but they found land, right? Yeah. That was the whole thing, yeah. And then he kind of went back, but it was an entertaining movie, I thought.
I think it's really
like Mad Max
scenes.
On water, right? I think that's how people described it.
Exactly, yeah, that sort of dystopian future kind of thing, but yeah, I think it sort of meandered to the finale, but I think, I mean, I'm a massive Kevin Costner fan, and I just think he plays a really good action hero in that. And anything where you end up where he's friends with the little girl and he doesn't care about anything else but saving the little girl. Mm-hmm. I love those kind of moments in movies where he's just going to go off and pick all the bad guys off and just save the girl and forget everything else. But some people might think that's a bit controversial in regards to the fact that people laugh at that movie, but I don't see what there is to laugh about it. It's a great action movie.
Yeah, it's entertaining. Good pick.
Thank you very
much. The bodyguard on water.
The bodyguard on water, yeah. okay, then, Logical Genius, your number 9, please.
Number 9. This movie, I've watched it several times. And I mean, I know why I watch it, because it's one actress.
3 tits. Has it got 3 tits in it?
I know, right? It has 2 for a split second. Yeah.
Excellent.
Desperado with Antonio Banderas.
Oh, my goodness.
You talk about if you're big on shoot 'em up type of movies, come on, like that was just so well done, especially that the opening, I guess, scene, or one of the opening scenes in the bar and that shootout. It was great, very entertaining.
Yes, that's such a good film.
And that was on my honorable mention for sure. It was kind of, she got outnumbered. That's how Desperado didn't make number 10, but Selma Hayek definitely came onto the scene. And then mm-hmm. you have long hair Antonio Banderas.
Yes.
This isn't short hair. This is long hair Antonio. So, yes, classic movie. Yeah. Great choice.
He ain't no puss in boots in Desperado, is he? Definitely not. And let me please apologize now. I'm sounding very un-PC where I'm talking about 3 boobs. But Salma Hayek is hot. I mean, she's hotter now
gorgeous.
Than she was in Desperado,
beautiful.
Which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a great one. That's definitely in my honorable mentions without a shadow of a doubt. Good start there, Logical Genius. Good start.
Thank you.
Okay, Juve, you're number 9.
I'm number 9. It goes by 2 names. I'm going to go with the American version, and that is The Professional. That movie.
Leon.
Yeah,
Leon. You have classic Gary Oldman. You have an innocent Natalie Portman. You have guns, you have shootings, and I'm still waiting on the sequel. If there is a movie that deserves a sequel with Natalie Portman now as the professional, this we deserve that. We deserve that.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason it isn't in my top 10 is last week we did revenge movies, and that was in, I think that was number 5 or so in my top 10 of revenge movies. And it just didn't make it into my top 10, but what a movie that is.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman is just batshit crazy in that. And it's
he's one of my favorite actors, you know. He's always done a great job, even on movies that were too great, but he's always been good.
Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt. So in America, it's called The Professional, or is it called Leon the Professional? Or is it just The Professional?
I think it's just it was marketed as The Professional.
Right. Yes.
Is there a reason why they? I'm sure there's somewhere on the internet that can tell me this. I didn't know whether you guys might know.
We're Americans. We just do things differently.
I mean, exactly. Metric system. Yeah.
Like maybe they thought people were going to be offended or didn't think of the name Leon and didn't like that name. It's too French or something.
I don't know whether Leon might have a different meaning in America, whether it had a certain meaning or something. I don't know, but.
I'm thinking back, like it probably aligns with a lot of the names of other type of action movies where it's like the assassin or something like that. I think that's probably why they kept it so short and removed Leon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. In the United States, we have a weird relationship with France. You know, there was at one point, I don't know, the French didn't want to get involved in something. So we were going to change French fries to freedom fries.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, my goodness. I remember that.
That's we have a weird relationship.
Most ridiculous thing ever.
French. Yeah. We're
petty.
Weird.
We're petty.
There we go.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'll have to see if I can find out something a little bit later on, find out why that's it. Anyway, my number 9, talking of bad remakes, I'm going to go for Point Break at number 9.
Yeah.
Again, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze.
Good movie.
Gary Busey, another just mad ass. In real life, mm-hmm. He was okay in that one. But a great high octane, loads of fun. I mean, Patrick Swayze was probably the coolest I think I've ever seen him in that movie. I'm not a massive Keanu Reeves fan, but I think as long as he doesn't say anything, he's cool. Do you know what I mean? The more words he has, the more he sort of fucks movies up. He just needs to be quiet, not say things. And he kind of doesn't have that much to say in Point Break. but it's got some iconic moments, you know, that are parodied through a lot of things. And great action scenes, which is all you sort of really, really need to know. Sorry, Keanu, if you're listening. I love you. I really do. I didn't mean to.
I feel like
I just don't love you talking.
Action movies where there's some sort of parachuting out of a plane always makes it a little bit better for some reason, right? When there's some sort of sequence where there's somebody jumping out of a plane, having to do something out of a plane, just adds to it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, that's why Fast and Furious, I mean, they have taken it to such high levels that cars are like parachuting out of planes. They're going into space, you know. And defy all logic and gravity.
I watched that movie and I'd never wanted a meatball sandwich so much in my life when Gary Busey was talking about meatball sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get me two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've never had a meatball sandwich from America. I need to have one. Are they good? Have either of you guys had a meatball sandwich?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. they're good. I'm a vegetarian now, but I haven't had one in a while. If I recall, they were great.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
With the Parmesan cheese.
Yeah. Really? Parmesan cheese. Toasted, melted cheese. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, melt that thing.
I've just put on 6 pounds. You're just telling me that.
it's all about, because the meat is the meat and the bread is the bread. And you have to write, the sauce has to be right.
Right.
If the sauce isn't right, it'll make or break the sandwich.
So is there a specific place that's the best place to get a meatball sandwich?
I mean, I don't particular franchises. No, I mean, I live in the New York area and there's a lot of Italian delis and restaurants.
Yeah, I would say any meatball. Italian deli in New York City is probably my go-to.
So there isn't like a specific one that you go. If you go somewhere, you have to get that meatball sandwich. You got to find your right one.
Yeah,
you have to find your right one, because sometimes some people pull the fakey bakey and get the frozen meatballs and put that in there.
Right. Not authentic. You don't want those.
You don't want those.
Don't get a Subway. Don't get a Subway meatball sandwich. Like, don't, right. Not to say that Subway's bad, but not, I wouldn't recommend their meatball sandwich compared to.
If you're coming from the UK, you're not coming to Subway to get a meatball sandwich.
No. Well, that goes.
If you ever come stateside, Pop, I'll come to New York, I'll treat you to a good meatball sandwich.
That's great. And Subway, if you still want to sponsor us, by all means, you can.
Yeah. Subway. I love your tuna sandwiches. So don't get me wrong. The meatball, I don't know. But.
Anyway, that was meatball chat on the top 10 of anything podcast. Okay. Logical Genius. Number 8, please.
Number 8. I think you mentioned this one in your facts in the show, in the start of the show. I am going with Die Hard with a Vengeance. Being a New Yorker and Bruce Willis, you know, Die Hard, the first Die Hard was great. The second one wasn't, I think this was the third one, right? In the franchise, if I'm not correct.
This is the third one.
This was with Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. The dynamic of puzzle solving and running through New York and seeing all that, it was just a great, and the dynamic between each other.
Yeah.
Just a great movie.
Yeah. Jeremy Irons again.
Jeremy Irons. Scar, you know, how do you not like Scar?
Indeed. And every time I watch that movie, I still can't quite understand how they do the water jug.
The water jug, right? Oh my goodness. Yeah. I've Googled it.
It blows my mind every time. And I think about 3 hours after the movie, I got it. I know how to do it now. But when they talk about it you have to watch the movie. I'll put it actually on our Patreon video playlist, that scene, because it at times I look at it and go, well, that doesn't make any sense. How did they take the water out of that one? But anyway. Juve, you a fan of that?
Yeah, I'm a fan of the series. I actually have a movie on my list under that franchise, so I can't wait to talk about it.
Interesting. One of the things
I loved about that movie is that it's very realistic in that a lot of the issues they encountered was trying to get around New York City.
Which is an issue.
And every other action movie where there's a police chase scene and all of that stuff, like, I'm like, there's no way in hell that New York City roads are this clear.
Right.
And they're like, you know, Samuel Jackson's like, if you go this way, it's going to take us 45 minutes to get to Midtown and all of that. That's very realistic. That's what I appreciated about it.
It's very, very rare that movies do that, isn't it? Because they will cut corners, like you say. Yeah, that makes a good point. Yeah, this one very close in my top 10. I love the first three Die Hard movies. 4 and 5, they tended to make. John McClane just became a bit more invincible.
Punchlines. That's all he was.
Whereas the first three, he was broken and bled very easily and hurt very easily. But that's your number 8. So, Juve, your number 8, please.
My number 8. Oh man! First of all, I'm not really the biggest Nick Cage fan. But you have Sean Connery, you have Alcatraz. So The Rock is my number 8. So I think for me, it's really the green balls and what it did to people. I was like, oh my God, if this gets out, we are in like trouble. Yeah. And you had some real disgruntled military people. So I believe the story. So The Rock, I thought that was a phenomenal action movie in the 90s.
Green balls can do damage, I'll tell you.
I know from personal
experience.
Yes, the wrong meatball will do some damage.
You don't want a green meatball.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I mean, Nick Cage, he did, in the 90s, he did change himself, didn't he? He became a real action hero.
He was.
Yeah. And one thing that surprises me so far is we haven't had a single duplicate yet. Which is very interesting because I thought we would have had at least one by now.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I thought so too.
We're getting very, very close though, because my number 8, Salma Hayek, George Clooney, Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez from Dusk Till Dawn.
For me,
I can remember the first time I watched this movie and I watched the first, whatever it is, half hour, 45 minutes where it's like a heist. Kidnap movie, and I thought there were supposed to be like vampires in this movie. What the fuck is going on? And then all of a sudden, it just like goes, the last act just is literally batshit crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And from the moment that Salma Hayek sort of sticks her big toe in Quentin Tarantino's mouth, watch the movie if you haven't seen it. That's going to sound very weird. it is just balls out, green balls out, batshit crazy. And I love every single moment of this movie. It is just so weird and out there. And Harvey Keitel is great, and yeah. Juliette Lewis is great. It's just crazy, and I love that movie.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was almost, I almost always forget about the first half of the movie, with the heist and you know, the hijacking of the RV, and he had to convince the guy that he was a truck driver. Look at my license, I'm a truck driver. We could get into this bar, though. He had like a 4-year-old kid or 8-year-old kid with him. But yeah, I mean, it was a great movie. It was a great movie, and the vampire, the killing scenes, and all that was just like very gruesome. Very, very nicely done.
Yeah. Juve, you a fan of this movie?
Yeah, definitely. Anything with Salma Hayek, once again, I'm all in. And I'm not trying to sound like a sexist, but there was something about primetime 90s when you're talking some of these characters and where they started to where they are now. You know, I think she was in Magic Mike, the 10th. I don't even know what number they're on with that franchise. And as you said, just continues to bring it on that level. So yes, From Dusk Till Dawn was on my honorable mention.
Yeah, why wasn't Salma Hayek in Total Recall? That's all I want to know.
we blew it on that. We blew it.
Did you ever catch the show, the Dusk Till Dawn show? I never saw it.
I watched the first episode, mm-hmm. and it just wasn't George Clooney and Tarantino. Yeah. It just didn't feel the same to me. It was like they were making some kind of cheap knockoff. I heard, because a friend of mine watched all of it and said that it was really good as a series. But yeah, I just couldn't bring myself to sort of watch it all. And then they did do, I think, Dusk Till Dawn 2 and 3.
Oh yeah.
Straight to DVD kind of things. And I didn't bother watching them as a one-off movie. It's the scene when George Clooney goes off and leaves Tarantino in the room with the kidnap victim, mm-hmm. and then when he comes back with like some burgers, the seat is empty, and Tarantino's very sort of like innocent, and oh yeah, she's in there, and then he opens the door and it's just like blood everywhere, mm-hmm. and it's like the way that they quick cuts to the body and stuff, and yeah, it's such a good film, but it's like two movies just melded into one, and I love that, absolutely love it. Okay, Logical Thinker, you're number 7, please. Logical Thinker. Logical Genius. Sorry, I don't know why.
That's his cousin, actually.
Yeah, that's my cousin. You know what? I'm sticking with the vampire theme. I'm going with 1998 Blade.
Oh.
One of the best comic book adaptation movies that ever came out. I think people enjoy it, but I think it was very underrated, especially in the Marvel universe, where you know, some of the bigger ones or the more recent ones get a lot of love. But Blade, you know, in that era, in that time, like did it for comic book movies. You know, the trilogy didn't end well or the way I wanted it to end, but it was, I think the first Blade was like, wow, like Wesley Snipes was a badass in that.
And that opening scene.
Yeah, opening scene.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It's just so cool. The fight scene with I can't remember his name. I want to say Ethan Hawke, but it's not Ethan Hawke.
Let me have a look. You carry on talking.
But
Stephen Dorff.
It was a very well done comic book movie in general. I think Blade, I mean Wesley Snipes adaptation of Blade and how he was like that. To me, sold Blade. Like that's who Blade is. That's how he should be.
And he looked so cool, didn't he? Wesley Snipes, again, as a 90s action hero, was just the top of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Yeah, definitely. Out of all of his films, I would have to say like the Blade is his top notch. Mm-hmm. You know, I know he was in New Jack City, did well in that.
To Wong Fu, was that not there for you? No?
Yo, definitely not.
No? Okay.
Not on the list. Not on the list.
Not even with three tits. That wouldn't have made the list.
No, yeah, not at all. There's so many extras going with it. So I was like, no, thank you.
Green balls.
Yeah.
That is a great one. Because he was just, he was everything in that movie, and just every scene that he was in was just so cool. It was just so good. But it backed it up with great action as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Good one. Okay, then, Juve, number seven, please.
All right, number seven. So we kind of talked about this, right? Speed and what it did. And then it was like speed on a boat, speed on this, speed on that. I'm going to try speed on an asteroid heading to the planet. And that's Armageddon. I feel like any movie that can get you choked up and close to tears, it needs to be on the list. And that's what Armageddon did to me. You know, like that scene, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, shame on you. Okay. Yeah. But that scene where he just was like, take care of my Gracie, and he pulled the patch off. And I was like, oh my God, like this is too much. So Armageddon is definitely my number seven.
Yeah.
I actually had that as my number five, Armageddon. So that's the first overlap right there.
There you go.
I mean, classic Michael Bay film, right? With the extra long shots and extension. And I think it was like the longest, what was it, 10 seconds, however seconds he had to, it was like an hour. But but
it's always an American flag floating in slow motion. Always. Doesn't matter where it is. But yeah, I mean, Juve, you're right in regards to that. It's the scene where the survivors come back on the shuttle. And then, what's his name? Is it William Paxton? He was like Bruce Willis's right hand man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He went and gave a little space shuttle to his son, and he didn't know it was his son. And he comes running around the corner. I'm bawling my eyes out at that moment because it is so beautiful. But it is a stupid popcorn action movie. It doesn't make any sense.
Does not make any.
Why would you send drillers up? It doesn't make any sense.
And if you really pay attention, the movie felt like rushed, like because Michael Bay, like he just likes to pace different scenes or whatever. But it worked, right? It worked because you're like, there's no way these guys did all this training and whatever time they did, and now they're astronauts. No, but I think the sequences and the various scenes in which they were learning and training was very entertaining. I thought,
Steve Buscemi was great, especially when he sort of lost his mind. And he's just I'm just going to sit here. Look at the view. We got a great view here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah, didn't quite make my top 10, but what a movie. Okay, my number seven. Again, this is going to be controversial because many probably would have this a lot higher up. But I'm going with The Matrix for number seven.
Wow.
And again, this is Keanu not saying much. Doesn't need to. But when I watched it the first time, and the moment that he's with Agent Smith, and Keanu Reeves's mouth sort of closed up, I went, yay!
Leave it that way for the rest of the movie.
This movie is going to be fantastic. But it broke all the barriers in regards to making movies. So for me, now, I'm pretty sure this was a 90s, because I think it was
99.
Just crept in.
Yeah.
So in regards to technology-wise, if you look at that from a movie from the start of the 90s, it's obviously going to be a lot better, but it snuck in for the 90s. So for me, it had to be in the top 10, because just some of the action scenes we'd never seen before.
Yeah.
We'd never seen like the magic bullet or whatever they called it, you know, at that point. And it was just, it just broke down all the barriers of what could be done in a movie. So yeah. Definitely. I mean, I'm assuming you guys are fans of The Matrix. Logical Genius?
Yeah. I mean, great action movie, great martial arts scenes. I was skeptical. I remember the first time I saw it was I was at university, and we used to have this thing every month where they would screen movies for free, upcoming movies and release and pre-screen it for the students. And just, you know, you would think a Thursday night with a bunch of, you know, college students going to this auditorium and just waiting in line, just sitting. And then all of a sudden, just the opening sequence, because usually people are just talking through any of these movies because they're like, whatever, this is garbage.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, what did we just witness, right? With Trinity and the fight scenes and the action cameras and the magic bullet stuff. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Juve?
Yeah, agreed for everything that everybody just said, for sure.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So Logical Genius, you're number six.
Number six. It's a movie I had like at the time, one of my favorite actors. I think he still is to some degree, but at that, in this period in the 90s, and one of my favorite comedians in the 90s, I have Bad Boys with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. I mean, I can't recall how many times I've watched that movie. Another Michael Bay film, Bad Boys, what you gonna do, you know? I know it's a movie we always reference within our family with Soso Juve and I. And it's just a very entertaining. We saw two of my favorite entertainers at the time come together and make this movie, and it was just great.
Yeah, okay. I also have Bad Boys at number five, though. Oh. I have Bad Boys at number five. And some of the same reason you have Will Smith coming of age, you have Martin Lawrence. And it, to me, was just pure magic. Mm-hmm. You had a soundtrack that was amazing. Yeah. You had races with Porsches. You had Will Smith half shirt off on taxi cabs. It was everything that I wanted in an action movie. Mm.
What's your guys' view on Will Smith now after the whole Oscars slap with Chris Rock thing now? Is he still held in really high regard over in America, or...?
I don't know. I mean, for me, Will Smith as an actor, he kind of fell off for me even before the slap. I think he was always good, but even after that, it's fucked up what he did. I mean, let me put that out there. But I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched, and not that he had many movies out since then, but I haven't watched anything that he's done recently. Whenever I think of him, I still think of the Will Smith from the Fresh Prince days, from the Bad Boys days, from Enemy of the State days. You know, that's the Will Smith I think about.
I think for me, he's playing it right. Like, just lay low.
Lay low. Yeah.
Lay low until, you know, you didn't slap a woman. So, I mean, maybe that's a little bit in your favor. We had a comedian, talented comedian, he came on and he kind of explained the cycle, right? At first, everybody was like, oh, Chris Rock, how could you let this happen to you? Like, how could you let someone slap you? Then the blame kind of turned on to Will, like, hey, Will, how could you, you know, slap another African-American male, one of our entertainers? Like, how can you pit, like, two of our icons against each other?
On national
then it went
TV.
To, like... Yeah, then it went to Jada, like, oh, toxic Jada Pinkett, and how terrible she is. She emasculating Will in the red table talk and making him look like, you know, nothing. So I think that's kind of where we left it off with, was kind of on Jada. And then, you know, Jada, of course, had the book that's out, and Will is just laying low. So I think he's making the right move, and eventually I think time heals most wounds. And I think that that's a wound that could be healed if he just takes his time before he releases something, and in hopes that that something that he releases is something that people can relate to.
Yeah. Okay. So that was...
number six.
That was your number six. So, Juve, your number six, please.
Oh, this was a tough one, because I had another F movie that I wanted to put in here, but... I can't believe I'm back with Nicolas Cage again, but really it's back to stories, and this story in the action, you had Golden Guns, you had John Travolta, you have Face Off, and
movie.
Scenes that are memorable is the cigarette with no face, and then he took my face.
Christ, it was like he was here. It was like he was actually here then. Oh my god.
So that's my number six. Anything with a good shootout, you have robot boots in a prison in the middle of nowhere. It had everything.
Yeah,
it was a genius.
It was a great concept. And I remember watching interviews with the two actors, and they were like, I had to study, you know, John Travolta had to study Nicolas Cage, and Nicolas Cage had to study John to kind of get their mannerisms and trying to convince people that they were the other person. But it was really, like you said earlier, Nicolas Cage had a good run, and John Travolta, I think, as well, had a good run in the 90s with movies. Except for that Alien movie. I can't remember when that came out exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think that, Was that, I think that must have been end of 90s, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, great movie, great action sequences, great shooting. I think great dynamics between the two actors, like pitting at each other. You had like a dedicated like hero and a dedicated villain going at each other.
Yes. In Battlefield switched
Earth
bodies.
Battlefield Earth was 2000, so it was just out of the
90s. Battlefield Earth, yeah. Ugh.
Oh dear, yeah, let's not talk about that one. Okay, my number six is The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis, Gary Oldman again.
Another Gary Oldman, yeah.
I mean,
he's great at that. He was great in that movie.
He is great at playing every totally movie. Like out there characters. Yeah. And it was one of those movies, it's just got so much color to that movie.
It does.
But it's, I mean, Bruce Willis is, I think that's one of Bruce Willis's best roles. He is so good in that. And I've forgotten her name now. Oh, God, what's her name?
Resident Evil girl. What is her
Resident
name?
Evil girl, yeah.
Yeah. Mila Jovovich.
That's right, yes. I thought she was, I'd never seen her before in anything. And I thought she was amazing. The emotion that she showed. I can remember when an old podcast that we used to do live shows at a local pub, and we had one where we asked all the people that were coming to dress as their favorite movie star. And this young lady came in dressed as Lilo from The Fifth Element, just in bandages. And we were supposed to have like a competition to see, and we just gave her the prize straight away. We just said, there you go, you've won. She was going to sit down in that, God knows how she was going to do it, but it was amazing. But
it was the visuals on that. And I can't remember the director's name, but he's known for
Luc Besson, he did Leon for
movies. And it just, the world he created, it was just beautiful. So
yeah. He directed Leon, The Professional as well. So
definitely the costume, whoever that costume person was in the art department, did a great job. You had Chris Tucker dressed in drag, you know.
Chris Tucker. Oh wow, yeah, you're right.
A lot going in that movie.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, that was something else as well. His read on that character was something else, wasn't it? Okay, we are halfway through, so it's time for this
pop quiz, hot shot.
So this is the moment when the My 5 Cents podcast ends, because Logical Genius and So Juve are going to fight with each other now to the death. And the Logical Genius, for his weapon, has three tits, and So Juve has green balls. So.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, what we're going to do, I've got the taglines to 90s action movie posters.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and you need to tell me what the movie is. Okay, so who would like to go first and who would like to go second?
Is this multiple choice or we're just guessing?
I wouldn't make it that easy for you. How dare you? I have 10 altogether. That. You've got 5 each. Okay, and if one doesn't get it, I'm going to pass it over to the other one. So, Logical Genius, would you like to go first?
Sure. I may have to knock out Genius from my name after this one. So,
okay. So just think of it in the context of a 90s action movie.
I'm going to visualize. Close my eyes and visualize.
So here we go. Number one. Beyond the horizon lies the secret to a new beginning.
Waterworld?
1-0. 1-0. Yep. To the Logical Genius.
Look at that.
I was like, please pass on that.
Okay, Juve is your first one. Get ready for the ride of your life.
Speed.
It's not. Over to you, Logical Genius.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Although, Juve, I can see why you would say that. That would make perfect sense.
I think I kind of want to know this, but I think I know, but the movie is just blanking. I'm going to guess Con Air.
Again?
Point Break. Perfect.
Total Recall,
actually. Oh, Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Yeah. What a terrible tagline.
Absolutely.
Okay, back to you, Logical Genius. In order to trap him, he must become him.
Face Off.
He's got another one. He's on fire. This man is on fire. Okay, Juve, here's your next one.
I feel
one.
Like we need to be alternating who goes first.
Juve, this is yours. The power of an immortal, the soul of a human, the heart of a hero.
The power of an immortal?
The soul of a human, the heart of a hero.
Gotta be some sort of mythology movie. I pass. Yeah, I can't even think of action mythology movies.
Okay, Logical Genius.
In the 90s? Can you repeat that, Pav?
I can. The power of an immortal, the soul of a human, the heart of a hero.
I don't know why this is coming to mind. I'm going to say Terminator 2.
It's not. It's Blade.
Oh my god. Oh, that makes the most sense.
It's Blade.
Immortal. I don't know why the immortal is so obvious.
This is shameful.
Okay, Logical Genius, back to you. They were deadly on the ground. Now they have wings.
They were deadly on the ground. Now they have wings. What? I feel like this is a Disney movie. Deadly Underground, but not. I feel like, oh my goodness. Is this a Chuck Norris movie, maybe? I'm going to say Con Air.
Is correct.
Shut up.
The logic is there.
3 for 3, Logical Genius.
I was going for The Crow. I was just like, I have no idea.
Okay, then, Juve, here's your third one. Truth needs a soldier. Truth needs a soldier.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it could go. Proof needs a soldier. Wow. I'll go The Rock. That's the only thing I know with a soldier.
It's not, I'm afraid. Logical Genius.
I'm torn between two movies that are completely opposite of each other. But I'm going to, and I just forgot the second one. I'm going to go with Truth Needs a Soldier. Universal Soldiers?
What was the other one you were going to go with?
Enemy of the State?
There you go. You get double.
Yeah.
It was actually Clear and Present Danger, the Harrison Ford movie.
Yes.
Okay, Logical Genius, here's your fourth one.
Okay.
Protecting the Earth from the Scum of the Universe.
Protecting the Earth from the Scum of the Universe. Men in Black?
Get out of here.
I was going to go Independence Day. Oh my goodness.
Four for four. This is crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, Juve, your fourth one. The magic is back again.
The magic is back again. So this got to be a sequel of some sort.
Probably not Magic Mike.
Definitely not early for that. Magic is back
again. Come on, G. You got to get one on the board. Come on.
I'm giving up. Terminator 2. There's magic for you.
It
again.
Is not. Logical Genius.
Oh boy, I feel like this is some sort of action fantasy, but the magic is back again. I don't know. I have no idea. I can't even wager a guess.
Well, I know that the second part of this franchise, it said the magic is back, and then the third part, the magic is back again, was Lethal Weapon 3.
Oh, Lethal Weapon 3.
There you go. Okay, Logical Genius, to have a clean sweep. To have a clean sweep to get five out of five. The Height of Adventure.
Oh, I don't know this one. The Height of Adventure. Action movie. 90s. Height of Adventure. Height of Adventure. Armageddon.
It's not. Juve?
Point Break.
It's Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Okay. That makes sense.
Here's the last one. Come on. You can do it. You can do it for this last one. Get ready for Rush Hour.
Rush Hour?
Oh my God.
I'm going to give you another run at that. I'm going to say it's not Rush Hour. It's not Rush Hour. So have another go. Get ready for Rush Hour.
We'll go Speed.
Nice. I was going to steal that one.
Logical Genius 4, So-So Juve 1. But it's not the winning. It's taking part, of course.
It's the winning for me.
But well done. Well done. Okay, we're going back now to the top 10. So Logical Genius, Armageddon was your number 5.
Yes.
So Juve, your number 5 was Bad Boys. My number 5, and I don't have to say much about this because I've talked about this movie so many times on this podcast, I'm going for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh my goodness, that was a good movie.
This movie, Juve, means so much to me, as it's the movie that myself and my wife danced in the aisles to. We waited for everybody to leave, and when Bryan Adams was playing at the end.
Bryan Adams, without a doubt.
Yeah, he was.
It just had
Everything I do.
That was actually an honorable mention of mine for like top wedding songs of all time.
Yeah,
definitely that song right there.
And it's a great romp of a movie.
It is.
It gets a lot of stick because again, Kevin Costner doesn't really do an English accent.
No, he's not.
And what you were saying, Logical Genius, about the fact that you can't, it doesn't take you 5 minutes to go from one part of New York to the other. when he's walking with Morgan Freeman and he's in like the middle of the north of Britain, and all of a sudden it takes him half a day to go down to the top or the bottom. It just doesn't make sense. You know, you can't do that in half a day of walking. But as a movie, Alan Rickman is one of the greatest villains of all time in that. It is just so pantomime and over the top. It's a great, great movie. Great score.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of fun. So I had to put it in there, and it's kind of like mine and my missus's movie as well. So there you go. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they've done it better since. Like,
well, Russell Crowe was the newer version, right?
That's right. Russell Crowe did a version with Ridley Scott.
Wasn't there a Jamie Foxx version?
There's
or
a Jamie
like
Foxx
that?
And Taron Egerton, yeah, which was terrible. It was a terrible mess of a movie. So I think you're right. I think they did, and also I think in that year there was a Patrick Bergin, Uma Thurman Robin Hood that came out.
What?
If it wasn't the same year, it was like very, very close to it. But it was a bit more of a sort of a look at Robin Hood as a man rather than as the Robin
the
Hood Prince of Thieves.
Yeah,
was more like
it,
yes, but it's such a good romp of a movie. Kevin Costner doing it again. Okay, Logical Genius number four, please.
So this is number four. It's a movie I've watched. I was excited when it was coming out because I played the video game a lot. I'm going with Mortal Kombat, 1995.
Wow.
Okay. It's just that talking about soundtrack, right? Mortal Kombat. You know, like everyone remember that. Yeah. It wasn't like I'm a stickler for, like, especially if you're doing it off of a source material, like accuracy. It wasn't 100% accurate to the video game or the lore of Mortal Kombat, but I just found myself watching it multiple times. I'm a big martial arts guy, which I'm surprised I should have more martial art movies on my list, but I don't. But it was just a movie I've watched, and I watched my brothers multiple times. It was just like, for me, it felt short because I felt like I wanted more from that movie in terms of what it did, and what it did, I thought it did well. Mm. But Mortal Kombat for me was highly, highly entertaining action movie.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
Don't watch it now, because you're gonna be like, "What is Logical Genius talking about?"
I was going to say, is it a movie that has aged well?
No. I mean, if you enjoyed it when it came out, I think you'll enjoy it still. But I wouldn't recommend it to someone like you who hasn't seen it yet. So
yeah. So again, somebody that hasn't played the games, would they understand the movie? Is it a lot of stuff you need to know?
It does a good job of explaining the plot of the movie and why certain things are done. But will it make sense to you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Now,
anyone
I did not see.
Oh, go ahead. No, I was going to say, is anyone famous in it? Is it a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie or?
The biggest name, I think, was at the time the actress who played Sonya Blade, Bridget Wilson. I want to say her name was. She played Sonya Blade. She was like more of the known American actresses at the time, or actors at the time. Besides
Christopher Lambert was.
Oh yeah, Christopher Lambert. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about Highlander. Yeah, he was there as Raiden. Yeah. But yeah, I think those were the main names, I guess, or known names.
Okay. Juve, sorry, you were going to say.
Yeah, for me, I didn't see Mortal Kombat, and it's not Mortal Kombat's fault. It's actually Street Fighter's fault. Because I watched Street Fighter the year before with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and that thing was terrible. It was horrid. It was awful. So after that, I was like, wait, another video game fighting movie? No, I am not going to spend my $6.95 on this to go see this movie. So I never saw Mortal Kombat, and it's not its fault. It's really all because Jean-Claude Van Damme came out with that horrid Street Fighter. I don't know how you get a French man to play an American hero. And out of all the Frenchmen out there, you pick Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I will just to clear that up for all our French fans, Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think, is Belgian. But
oh, he's
just,
Belgian?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I could just
going
imagine,
back to the beginning, we have an issue with the French. So
I
can
just imagine all of our French people are spitting their freedom fries out now, going,
stupid Americans. Stupid Americans, you know. There we go.
And all the Belgians are going, he's ours. He's ours. Or whatever it is in Belgium. I don't know how you say that.
Yeah.
Okay, Juve, you're number four, please.
My number four, I put it at number four because it was everything about the 4th of July, and that is Independence Day.
Right.
You have Will Smith with the doctor there. What is it?
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
There we go.
Goldblum. Vintage thank Jeff Goldblum, you, too.
Yeah, vintage. Not we're not talking apartments.com, Jeff Goldblum. We're talking about vintage. And I mean, Will Smith knocks out an alien with a single punch.
Yeah.
That has an exoskeleton around it and was able to just hit it so hard it passed out and then dragged it through the desert. I mean, that's action.
It's another one of those movies that you have to park your brain at the door, because the one thing always made me laugh is the fact that they can upload a virus to an alien craft using a USB stick.
Yeah. So we have compatibility issues now between Apple and Windows.
Yeah.
But somehow back then we were able to upload through a thumb drive, because somehow we found a thumb drive that fit into an alien spaceship.
Amazing. Amazing.
There was no logic in that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's not even like you could say that the aliens were getting their stuff from Amazon, because Amazon wasn't a thing at that point. So, but yeah. It's a great movie. It didn't make my top 10. It didn't quite sneak
didn't
in
make
there.
Mine but, either, yeah.
But I can always remember when I saw that trailer at the cinema. And I think there's a clip in there where it said, oh, I hope they bring back Elvis or something. And I thought, oh, this is going to be, and then they blew up the White House, and you thought, okay, this is going to be crazy. This is going to be a crazy movie. Yeah, such a good film. Such a good film. Okay, my number four, I'm going with the start of a franchise that is still going now, and it was Mission Impossible.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a good one. It's one of those movies that it's not a dumb movie, and you have to think about some certain bits of it. And I love the fact that I think nearly all the movies, there's some kind of set piece and they will tell you what they're going to do, or they're going to tell you how they can't do it. You know, this is impossible. We need a key card. We haven't got the key card. We have to come in from, we can't touch the ground of this particular part. The temperature is not allowed to go up a certain bit. And then they managed to do it. And I think Tom Cruise, that was the sort of start of Tom Cruise being a real proper action hero. And he hasn't really stopped from that. He kind of carries on being an action hero now, but Jean Reno again, Leon is in that as well. It is just, especially the final act is just a nail biter, just edge of the seat kind of stuff. And again, all the Mission Impossible movies have all done that same kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, and this franchise is very much like it's a heist movie, for the most part. Like they do a lot of heist scenes. And I remember when they were talking about this back in the day when, and I remember watching the TV show. And I'm like, what? They're going to turn this into a movie? How? With Tom Cruise? And I was surprised, delightfully surprised at what they did and how it carried on. And for me, like I was never a big Tom Cruise fan. Like even back, like he had good movies, but I was like, yeah, he's okay. But ever since that movie, I think I want to say like I was appreciating kind of like his action movies more. And I think he's been putting out a lot of good action movies now, like over the years. So
I agree.
Appreciate him.
Yeah, I personally, this was actually on my watch list for this weekend because I actually liked the Mission Impossible franchise.
Yeah.
I didn't really get onto it until about maybe the fourth one or so. And I've watched each one religiously since.
Yeah.
And I was actually on one of the streaming sites and I was like, how have I not watched the original Mission Impossible? So I said, all right, maybe this weekend, I don't really got a lot of traveling going on. I'm going to pop that in. And give that a watch.
Brian De Palma as well, so it had like a really good pedigree of director behind it as well. But yeah, such and the whole train scene going into the Eurotunnel at the end was just Vanessa Redgrave. Okay, Logical Genius, your number three, please.
So this one is dear to me, and it came out in the start of the 90s, or in 1990. I'm going with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
I freaking love that movie, right? And I appreciate it more now than I did back then, right? I think part two kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, but the first one, I remember watching it actually a few months ago, and I caught it like towards the end of the movie with the rooftop fight scene with the shredder.
What?
And I'm like, this is probably one of the most best looking cinematic fight scenes, you know, of all time, right? Just one at a time, going after Shredder, one at a time, going after Shredder. I'm like, Shredder was a badass. And it was, I loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the TV show, the cartoon, even the video game growing up. And when this came out, I was like, wow, this is a really good movie. They did a really good job of, I guess, sticking to the source material to some degree. And the Shredder was great. He was visually right. Splinter was great. The turtles, like, even though you can tell they were costumes, they were convincing enough. And I just thought it was a great, great movie.
Mm. And Juve, you're obviously a fan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about the rat?
Yeah.
Oh, he was a rat. I was with y'all all the way 100%.
He takes off the mask and reveals himself so mad at him. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is that was great. I remember as a kid, like, trying to emulate the fight scene at that rooftop and pretending I was each turtle and doing kicks. Yeah, my career as a karate master didn't really take off, but you know, I try.
I'm of the age where I kind of missed the whole Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing. I was going to say that was when I was into wine and women and drink, and but I didn't do any of that. I just for some reason I missed. But what did you think, Logical Genius, about the new Turtles movie that came out? The animated one, because it seemed to get a lot of good buzz.
The animated ones are better, but the ones, the Michael Bay ones with the CGI, I wasn't a fan of. It was too much CGI. Like, it didn't feel real enough. It was more action sequences, and it's just kind of like the first Transformer that Michael Bay did, where it was just, you couldn't see anything because it was just too much going on. And I think in the subsequent movies, you had to slow the action sequences down so audiences could catch up. I just wasn't a fan of the CGI. It just didn't feel real enough to me.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, something about the trailers. Like, when I saw the CGI Turtles, I didn't even go see it. But when I saw the animated, the one that just most recently came out, I took my son to it. Good. I loved it for the inappropriate adult humor that he may not have understood.
Right.
He loved it because it was a cartoon, and he loved Michelangelo. And, you know, we've been Turtles ever since. So I'm a fan of the most recent version there.
Okay. And even the one that came out, the animated one that came out a few years ago, that one is a really good one as well.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it, but it was a good movie.
I might give them a go then. See what they're like. Okay, so Juve, your number three, please.
My number three. So we mentioned Die Hard Vengeance. I'm going with Die Hard 2.
Okay.
The reason why I'm going with Die Hard 2 is, for some reason, it left an impact with me. I remember watching it in the movie theater with my cousins, and I was afraid to get on a plane because I thought that there was somebody on the ground trying to, like, destroy the plane. Like, that, like, stuck with me for a couple of years for sure. And of course, this was, like, younger times, but I think just the plot twist, knowing that, I think it's John Singleton or John Singletary? Oh no, the guy from
I know who you mean. Yeah,
John Amos.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yes. You know, for him to be part of the whole plot twist and knowing that they were shooting with blanks, I was like, oh my gosh, I knew it was a John something. So John Amos. Die Hard 2, I think it built off of the first one, but we weren't in a skyscraper. We took it to kind of airplane. And then you have like the extra incentive that his wife is on one of the planes. Like,
yeah. How can the same shit happen to the same guy twice?
Twice, yeah.
Now, I need to know. There's a good question then from this movie. I'm sure I'm not the only person that has turned has turned my TV off with a remote control naked, like William Sadler does in that movie. You must have done it as well, surely.
Yes.
Thank God for that. I thought I was the only one that was trying to emulate that scene. I mean, that was just a weird scene because he's there doing some kind of, I don't know whether it's Tai Chi or some kind of thing. And then he just, with his reflexes, he's there like in stark bollock naked. I've never seen someone turn a TV off so aggressively in my life. I mean, that's crazy. Well, at least I'm not the only one that's done that.
There's a lot of movie scenes you rehearse in the privacy of your own home, right?
A lot, yeah. Well, especially the movies I watch,
The Tom Cruise sock slide. I can't remember the name of the movie.
from Risky Business.
Risky Business, yes. Yeah. Epically failing trying to do that. But
I mean, I've been trying to get my wife to recreate the Total Recall scene, but she will just isn't. She will not do it. I've said that I'll pay for the surgery and everything, but she just won't. She won't do it at all. Okay.
That's great. Tell her it's a team building moment. Like, grow stronger with it.
Exactly. Just take one for the team. That's all she's got to do. Okay, my number three. Now, we've mentioned this guy so many times. And, Juve, I think you've got two of his movies. Have you got two? Yeah, you've got two of his movies in your top 10. I'm going for Con Air at number three. Because,
good movie.
Again, it's one of those action movies where you've got a hero there that his soul, like all he wants to do is get home. He doesn't want to be a hero. He just wants to be one of the faces in the background. But everything happens around him where he has to then help somebody. Then he has to be a hero and he has to like take charge. And I think I love Nick Cage anyway. I think he's great. Even his batshit crazy movies and the movies that you think, the ones that you'll do one for him and one to make a paycheck.
Yeah.
The paycheck ones sometimes are like ridiculous movies, but some of them are really good. But Con Air was just, I think that's a Michael Bay movie, isn't it? I think so.
Yeah. Cause there's always that action sequence of, shot with it. The hero's like looking up and the camera's like panning beneath him. That's a Michael Bay classic.
Exactly.
With the Nick Cage mullet. I mean, that's,
that's my takeaway from Con Air, is the Nick Cage mullet.
Actually, it was Simon West who directed it. So,
oh, really? Okay.
We're giving Michael Bay too much credit.
Too much credit.
John Cusack as well. John Malkovich. Such a great. I think that was the first movie that I saw. Who's the guy that plays Machete?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And that was the first Machete movie. Kills. Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, first movie I remember seeing him in as well. But yeah, such a good movie. All right, Logical Genius, your number two.
My number two is a sequel movie. It's a number two. I have Terminator 2, Judgment Day. That movie to me, the action scenes, James Cameron just did an amazing job with that. One of my favorite scenes is the motorcycle scene with him on the Harley and just rotating the shotgun and shoot. It was just amazing. Like that movie, it was just top to bottom, start to finish. Action sequences had some comedic lines in it. The special effects at the time with the T-1000, the helicopter scene, you know, that it was just a well made movie. And it was just great. I don't know how else to describe it. I watched it dozens and dozens of times.
Yeah, I agree. Juve?
Yeah. That's my number two as well.
Wait. Look at that.
Yeah, that Guns N' Roses, You Could Be Mine. I mean, and this is primetime MTV era, right? Yeah. So when you see the music video, you're reliving that movie over and over again. And it just was beautifully well done. Definitely a sequel that I think was better than the original. The T-1000 scene where Sarah Connor has left off from, because there was some time between the original Terminator and Terminator 2. And then we're talking about Naked. We had something for the ladies. We had Arnold Schwarzenegger butt naked. And that opening scene and, you know, stealing the motorcycle from the motorcycle gang and just being a badass. Like,
and there's so many quotables in that movie too, like quotable lines. Yeah. You know?
But I think just the human nature piece of it, right? So you have this technology and you have this little boy who has fallen in love with a robot and is trying to teach this robot to be more human when it's been designed to kill humans. Yeah, it's just a great movie.
And it ended up being the closest thing to a father that he had because it was going to do nothing but look after him.
Yeah,
and that was the beauty. That was the beauty of it. So I was going to say, it is strange how that was. I think that was 91, Terminator 2.
91, yeah, it was 91.
And I think movies were completely different after that because it broke down the barriers.
Yeah.
And then you go The Matrix right at the end of the decade, which again, then it showed you just how far the technology came in the space of 8 or 9 years. Okay. Absolutely. So you've both got those at number two. Which is great. Unfortunately, I'm not going to make that my a full sweep, as I'm going for Jurassic Park at number two.
That's a good one.
How is that not on my list?
Yeah, because that wasn't on my list.
I mean, that must have been a weird year for Steven Spielberg to make Jurassic Park and Schindler's List in the same year.
Yeah.
I'm just glad he didn't get the scripts mixed up, because that could have been really weird.
Wow, that would have been very weird.
It could have been really weird. But you watch Jurassic Park now, and you would never know that was made in 1993, or that came out in 93. Yeah.
The, it holds the up pretty
special
well.
Effects are just incredible for that particular sort of time, early 90s. And it's a rip-roaring... I mean, it takes a while to get going, obviously, but once it gets going, Jeff Goldblum again, fantastic, Sam Neill, Laura Dern... Richard Attenborough. It is just one of the. It is one of those. I put it up there with Back to the Future, Star Wars. It's one of those perfect movies, perfectly paced, perfectly written, perfectly directed, and perfectly acted. It is just. It was very close to being my number one.
That's a very good number two. I'm actually very disappointed with my list now that you've said that. because honestly. As you said, the pace of it, the beginning of it, people might be like, oh, it was slow. How could you have it as an action movie? But you had to explain how you could get freaking dinosaurs in this era. And they do that. They take the time to make that happen so that then the action can actually make sense.
Yes.
As opposed to you're diving right into dinosaurs. Well, how the hell did we get dinosaurs back? Like, you're absolutely right. Belongs on the list. Definitely top 10, definitely top 5.
Yeah. Thank you, Jude. Does that good mean choice. That you've forgiven me?
No, we still got beat.
Okay, before we reveal our number ones, would you both give us a rundown of your 10 to 2? So, Logical Genius, if you'd like to do that, then Jude, and then I'll do that, and then we'll reveal our number ones.
Sure. At number 10, I had Speed. Number 9, Desperado. Number 8, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Number 7, Blade. Number 6, Bad Boys. Number 5, Armageddon. Number 4, Mortal Kombat. Number 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And number 2 is Terminator 2.
And Juve?
All right. And my top 10 of anything for 90s movies is at number 10, Total Recall, aka Three Tits. Number 9. Number 9, Leon the Professional. Number 8, The Rock. Number 7, Armageddon. Number 6, The Fugitive. Number 5, Bad Boys. Number 4, Independence Day. Number 3, Die Hard 2. Number 2, Terminator 2.
Okay, I just have to pull you up on that because you changed your number 6. You said The Fugitive.
Did I say The Fugitive? I'm sorry. It was Face Off. I'm sorry.
This happens on our show, Pav.
And I thought, hang on a minute. We have to redo that and cut that little bit.
Here's your re-edit. At number 6, Face Off.
Thank you.
The real F movie that I wanted to put in there, not the other F movie. Even though The Fugitive have, I didn't kill my wife.
No.
And then falling off of that was great too. But. Exactly.
I'll tell you what, if there's ever a way of trying to get 11 into your top 10, you've just done that, James. So well done.
Hey, that was real cheeky.
I'm going to have to change the title of the podcast now. It'll be the top 11 of everything. Mine is number 10, Waterworld. Number 9, Point Break. 8, From Dusk Till Dawn. 7, The Matrix. 6, The Fifth Element. 5, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. 4, Mission Impossible. 3, Con Air. And 2, Jurassic Park. So, Logical Genius, what is your number 1 90s action movie?
Oh man, this movie was very revolutionary and transformative for me when I watched it. You had it lower on your list, Pav, but I have The Matrix.
Okay,
that movie, I mean, for it to end the millennium, right? The that movie was just from watching it, just visually was just something else for me. Like, what am I watching right now, right? And action sequences to me were amazing. Something I've never seen before. I mean, the fight, the gun sequences, and then you throw in martial arts. Like, again, I'm a big fan of martial art movies, and the director, the martial arts, and I appreciate that the directors for doing this was they brought in Yuen Wu Ping, who was a big martial arts action movie director in China. It's well renowned. He did the action scenes for Crouch of Tiger, Hidden Dragon, all the fight scenes for that, right? So he was well known in that industry, and then they brought him over to do The Matrix, and it just was great, and it made it made me believe that Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman, I mean, not Morgan Freeman,
Lawrence Fishburne,
thank you, for be able to be martial artists. Like, it was just amazing too. It was just amazing. It was a combination of guns, sci-fi, martial arts. It was just the perfect combination for me as a movie, as an action movie.
Yeah. I never thought of it, but do you think it kind of fed into the whole Y2K pandemonium that everybody was?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
Because everybody is thinking, actually, that none of this is real. Well, you know, although I do love that steak scene when Joey Pantolino is eating. Yeah. That I mean, that steak looks gorgeous. And I would never take the pill that takes me to eat that gruel stuff. I want to eat the steak. I want to eat steak.
It's one of those movies where you can't watch it and come out and like, wow, like whether you think the storyline is believable or the acting, like you can't not watch and say, wow, visually, like, what did I just watch? Right.
Exactly.
To me, it felt like watching Star Wars for the first time, you know, when it first came out, it was, people were like, wow, like, what is this? Am I watching right now?
You'd never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Yeah. Okay. Then Juve, what's your number one?
My number one is also The Matrix.
Whoa. So,
yeah. And this is, you know what? This is where the beef comes from. Me and the logical genius, now I won't say oftentimes, but sometimes on our list, we have three of the same in our top five. And somehow, some way, the logical genius will get first and I will plummet all the way to third, not even second, third. And then I'm left scratching my head. Now, how did I have three of the same things as the logical genius and he gets first, Habitual gets second, and I get third? And this has happened to me more than once. So, Bob, you're actually not alone on the beef list. You're not alone. There's actually someone else who did the same thing. And I said, how is this even possible? But The Matrix, the story that logical genius, I was there, even though at that time I was afraid of the logical genius at that time. He scared me. So I wasn't really friends with him at that time. But we went to the same school, University of Rhode Island, and they were showing this movie. In that opening scene with Trinity, when she freezes in the air, there was a collective, in the building. Yeah. Like, everyone was like, oh, what is this? And just as you mentioned, Terminator kind of set the bar for how can you push the boundaries in the beginning of the 90s. You have The Matrix, who I think took that flagpole from Terminator and said, hey, we're going to push it even further now. And I think it was just a great start point for a trilogy. I know they made a fourth one. I don't know if I count that one yet, but I think The Matrix Reloaded. The Matrix Reloaded was a great canon sequel. Yeah. The Matrix Reloaded was a great sequel to that. I think, as you said, because that was actually the words that was going to come out of my mouth, playing into Y2K, conspiracy theories. It's like, are we in a real world? Are we just batteries? Like, it made me believe that, it's quite possible that we are living in the Matrix. To take something like deja vu, and it's like, oh, that's a glitch in the Matrix. Like, we have all experienced deja vu, and it's like, oh,
that was
my
smart.
God.
That was very smart.
Am I in the Matrix right now? Are they reprogramming something? Like, what is actually happening? So The Matrix, definitely number one for all of those reasons. I loved it.
Wonderful. And Juve, you got to let it go, man. Seriously.
It's hard. It's hard. You know, it's hard.
That beef list, you've got to put it away.
The crazy thing is in our last record, actually, the recording that just released, it just happened. And I was like, oh my gosh. What is going on?
Oh, dear. Okay, my number one, we were very close. I think we've only once had, everybody's had the same number one. And if you'd have just turned your number twos into number ones, we'd have had the same number one. Mine is Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Another perfect movie. And like you say, it's very similar, like I say, to The Matrix in the fact that movies weren't the same after Terminator 2, the same as movies weren't the same after The Matrix. And is another one of those absolute perfect movies. And we've all said what we want to say about about Terminator 2. So there you go. Okay, we've got a few honorable mentions just to run through. Daniel Saldivar said Starship Troopers is the best satire movie ever. Candice Williams, how fun is Twister an action movie? I would say yes, it is. That is my fave. Also, the original Jurassic Park is great. My husband puts his vote in for Armageddon. Brianna Archer says True Lies, such a fun movie. I mean, that is another great one. Dan Rosk says Leon, The Professional or The Crow. David Bejer says Speed, so good, every second holds up. Melinda Villegas says so many, it's difficult to choose. I'm going to go with Time Cop, but Face Off is just as good. And at MPG_1980 says, now we're talking, in no particular order, Point Break, Terminator 2, Blade, Hard Boiled, Con Air, The Rock, True Lies, Leon, Total Recall, The Matrix, and Desperado. Well, you should be happy because we've pretty much covered all of those apart from Hard Boiled. So probably could do a list of more, but we'll leave it there. Now, Juve, you did mention you've got some more honorable mentions. What have you got?
Oh, man, it was hard for me to leave this one off. You had Sam Jackson in The Negotiator. Right. I liked that movie a lot. That was a good one. Also had Enemy of State from Will Smith. It was kind of like, man, I already have two Will Smith movies. How do I put a third one on there? Also had U.S. Marshals, which I think is
The Fugitive. Top five.
Yeah, The Fugitive Part 2.
Yeah,
the sequel.
Yeah, it was on my top five sequels of all time, or movie sequels. And yeah, it was tough. And that's where like The Fugitive accidentally ended up on the list. I was like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, wait, if I put The Fugitive on, how do I leave U.S. Marshals off? And it's like, and then Wesley Snipes in a wig dodging bullets. I mean, like,
what more do you need?
What more do you need? It's better than Wesley Snipes cross-dressing with the wig, like, you know, that was a better movie for sure. We talked and Heat, I'll say for R&D Rob, the movie Heat was on my honorables mention.
Nice. Logical Genius, you got any honorable mentions? Or
I mean, a few were mentioned by your listeners. I had, you know, Twister was on there. I think Twister was a great movie. In general, I was surprised I didn't have more or any Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Like, I was a Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That famous Frenchman, you mean?
Man, yeah, the famous
Frenchman. Yeah.
But, I mean, his movie, like, I enjoyed all, like, for the most part, I enjoyed most of his movies in that era, like, in the 90s. Like, he was like, oh, new Van Damme movie? It's a, even though the plot wasn't great, I think, what, Time Cop was when mentioned by your listeners. Human Target was something that
was Universal Soldier was really good.
Universal Soldier. Mean, I just was surprised I didn't have any of his movies on there. And even someone like Steven Seagal, right? You know, not now Steven Seagal, but back then I thought Steven Seagal was one of the baddest ass like persons on the planet. And
Under Siege.
Under Siege. Yeah. Under
had
Siege
one of the greatest. I remember watching that the first time and had no idea that Erica Eleniak was going to pop out of a cake topless. I had no idea that was going to happen.
There you go.
There, I was quite happy it wasn't three tits, just two was enough. For me, on that, that was such a delight. I had no idea that but again, that was kind of Speed Die Hard on a boat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Die Hard on a, was it a boat or a train?
I can't remember. It was a train, yeah.
Yeah. But yes, they're really good things, yeah. Well, we've done it, gentlemen. We've done it. So the only other thing we've got left to do, I don't know which one of you, Juve or Logical Genius, you want to tell everybody where they can find your podcast and how they can get in touch with you?
Go ahead,
Juve. You can find the podcast on all streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify. We're everywhere. Follow us on Instagram. Our big piece is to join the conversation. So if you see something, leave a comment. We'll comment right back. We'll get into discussions. We enjoy the discussions that we have on Instagram. I think that that's maybe the most fun part about it. The My 5 Cents podcast is a podcast about perspectives and persuasion, where we bring on a guest and we turn them into a judge, where they have to pick between the three host lists. And then they get to determine what list is the best list. So please give us some support. We were gracious enough to have Pav
on the show. Yeah, that was a good episode. Check that one out.
It was one of my favorite episodes, was definitely with Pav because of the topic. The topic was songs with a name in them. Yeah. So If you have an opportunity, go ahead and check that one out with Pav. He had the terrible decision to choose between the three of us. No, I'm not saying that he chose wrong. I'm saying that he had to make the choice.
No, you're basically saying he chose wrong.
He absolutely chose wrong. So watch the episode so you can agree with me and comment on his page about Pav. What were you thinking with this order of the list?
I don't know. I'm never going to live that down. But again, I would put the links in the show notes, so you just need to click on it. But please go and listen to these guys. Like I say, they're three of the coolest guys on the internet. And it's so much fun. It's so much fun. But be careful. You know, don't just make sure that you say that Juve wins every week. Otherwise, he's going to be on at you every fucking minute of the day. It's just a nightmare.
He'll DM you.
Well, the amount of DMs I get every single day is, you were wrong.
True story. I sent him the link because of that episode, one of my go-to conversation starters with people is, what is a bigger song, Stan Eminem or Mary Jane by Rick James? So that's like my number one go-to now, because that was the discussion piece in that episode.
Well, let me just go through our little bits of gubbins before we say goodbye. So, yeah, for us, again, come and check us out on social media. If you want to email top10pods@hotmail.com, come and join our Patreon. It helps keep the lights on, literally, and supports the podcast. You get extra bonus content. You can come and be a guest as well on the podcast. All the links and everything you need is in the podcast show notes. So just go there. I don't need to tell you. You just can read it and click on it yourself. It's fine. You just do a bit of work. That's all you got to do. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. It really has to have you on. And please, when HLS is back and available, come back again. And we'll have all three of you at each other's throats for the quiz. Logical Genius, you are the champion at the moment.
Okay, so, yeah.
Juve, I'm going to get shit for that as well. I know you're going to into my DMs.
It's my fault, because I should have went first.
He's already in your DMs right now, Pav. You haven't checked them yet. He's already in there.
The questions that you asked him, I knew those. The questions you asked me, I had no idea.
Next time,
I should have went first.
Next time you're going first.
It's all about timing.
Next time you're going first. That's it. Logical Genius, Juve, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you. This is great,
Pav. Absolute legends. Absolute legends. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening at home. Let's go start the countdown.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.